Morning, everybody. Good to see you. Just wait 30 seconds for my glasses to demist. I can actually see you. Great to see you. John O'Brien's storytelling is just amazing. It was just fantastic. I'm not really sure I'm going to do it justice in the next 20 minutes, but we'll see how we get on. So we are, as a church, just going through this series right now where we're looking at, well, we've called it the Great Commission with a quote around the sea, because there's a sense in which sometimes as a church it becomes a bit of an omission. And the whole point of it is, as we come out of lockdown and the church gets going again, as if it ever stopped, which I don't think it did, but that's another story. But as we get going again, actually, mission is a key part of who we are, what we do, and what Jesus is calling us to do. So this whole series is really to kind of help us to think about that again and realize how God is pushing us out into the community. God is pushing out into the communities that you and I represent. So we're in Acts chapter 8, as we saw so brilliantly. I just want to read a tiny bit beyond the end of where John got to in the story. So if you remember, John got to the story with Peter and John praying for the people, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we read this, because you remember the guy Simon, who had believed and was baptized. Simon sees that the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on of hands, we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. And he offers money to Peter and John and says, can I buy that gift? And Peter answers him, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart isn't right before God. Repent of that, with this wickedness, and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Ouch. Right, it's a bit of, and we'll come on to that in a minute. The whole story is really key, because this passage is really about mission and the church on mission. And I want to start by asking you a question: what does mission mean to you? What does mission mean to you? What do you think about? What are the words that come into your mind when you think about the church on mission? Because this passage is all about it. But as we saw in John's story, at the end of the previous chapter, you know, the church has just been in Jerusalem, and this terrible persecution breaks out amongst the church in Jerusalem, and as the apostles remain in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people go out to cities and towns and villages. They don't respond in fear to what's happening. They respond in faith to what's happening. And I just wonder if that is a bit of a word for us today. They respond in faith to what is happening, and they take the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, out to these other cities. You know, and it's such an important thing. And so we read about this guy, Philip. He's one of them. He goes to Samaria, and he preaches and he teaches people about Jesus, and he explains who Jesus is, and he demonstrates it with signs following. And straight away, you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus talking to the lady at the well. She was the lady from Samaria. And we talked about how Jews and Samaritans don't mix. And Jesus crossed that boundary. It was a race issue between the two sets of people. And Jesus crossed that. And so Philip, if you like, is building on that. He leaves Jerusalem and he goes straight to Samaria. And it speaks to us straight away that mission is cross-cultural. Whether that's crossing boundaries of race, of colour, of gender, of social class, of any categorization that mankind in its infinite wisdom will make up and dream up, the gospel transcends all of them. And you and I are called as people of God to transcend those boundaries and take the good news of Jesus to people that are not necessarily like us. That means we choose to go to people who we may not necessarily normally mix with, whatever that is for you. And Jesus is calling us to be men and women who do that. And so Philip leaves Jerusalem and goes down to Samaria and preaches and teaches about Jesus. And we're introduced to this guy, Simon, the sorcerer or the magician, as John told us. And he's really a guy who kind of has, I guess today we would say, he has a personality cult status. You know, he'd be the guy on the front page of Hello magazine. Not that I read Hello magazine, just to say. But that's where he would appear today. He'd be a guy with millions of Twitter followers. And if you don't know what that is, you are in a great place. So he would be the guy on the front pages. Everybody would be following him. Forget the Kardashians. It would be Simon the Sorcerer that everybody would want to know about. He'd have his own TV show, his own TV channel. And people were going out to see him. They flocked to see him. And you kind of get from the story that Simon would be the guy, kind of guy who would lap all that up. He loved the attention. He loved having people following him. And he loved getting the money that became associated with that. His world revolved around himself and the buzz that he got from people liking him and the popularity that he had with them all. And then Philip turns up, teaches people about Jesus, and people start becoming Christians. They respond to the message about Jesus, and they choose to believe. And guess what? Simon himself believes in Jesus and is baptized. And that's the next point about mission. First thing, it's cross-cultural. Second thing, if mission is authentic, we need to see people believing and being baptized. This being baptized bit is key. It's the two things go together, believe and be baptized. Now, when we baptize people, you know, we take them down into the water, fully clothed, and we bring them back up out again, because we're good like that, right? But the whole point of it is, it's symbolic. As you go down under the water, you're symbolizing that you're dying to the old way in which you used to live life. And when we bring you up out of the water, it's symbolizing that you're rising to a new life following Jesus. And it is symbolism. Nothing magic happens. In fact, you'll see it's symbolism in a minute in the passage. Okay, but it's important symbolism. Believe and be baptized. And if you believe in Jesus this morning, if you believe in Jesus as you're watching this and you haven't been baptized, I want to urge you, it's believe and be baptized. And I encourage you, come and give us a bit of a challenge to figure out how to do a baptism service in this current climate and culture, all right? The last one we did was in a lake in Derbyshire with tadpoles around our feet, but don't let that put you off, all right? The message is believe and be baptized. And I want to urge you, if you believe this morning, then get baptized, all right? We would love to put on a baptism service and celebrate that. And so Simon believes and is baptized. And then there's just that great little phrase that we read that he's captivated by the miracles he sees Philip performing, and he follows Philip around in awe of what's going on. The next thing the story gives us, mission is cross-cultural. In authentic mission, we see people believing and being baptized. The next thing the passage gives us is the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the story gives us the clarity that being filled with the Holy Spirit is such an important part of the church being on mission. It should be part and parcel of what we see. So the top guys in Jerusalem hear about what's happening in Samaria, and they come down to see what's going on, and they see Philip, and they see the effect of his preaching, and they see men and women believing and responding, and their response is fantastic, but they see they haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John lay hands on the people that are believing in Jesus, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Clearly, this is an important part of what's going on. This is an important part of the church on mission. We need to be men and women as we follow Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, just as if you haven't been baptized and you believe, and I encourage you to get baptized, if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, if people haven't prayed with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to urge you this morning, get people to pray with you. Doesn't matter who it is, pray with them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John place their hands on these new believers and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did that include Simon? That's a piece of homework to take away. So Peter and John place their hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. And it kind of underlines the importance that that is as we're on mission. You know, let's not forget that bit. Let's not be so focused on some other aspect that actually, guys, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when people become Christians, we should be encouraging them to be prayed for, to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And it's clear from the passage that that's an obvious thing, because Simon sees it and thinks, wow, you know. And we know from other passages, it's not something subtle, you know, but there's a clear, definite statement of something going on as the power of God comes in people and energizes them to live a life to follow Jesus. It's so important. That's the third thing. The next thing that I just want to get to, which is really the nub of what I want to try and say this morning, is the story here teaches us about the importance of grace and truth working together when we're on mission as God's people. You know, and we know Jesus, he's described, isn't he, as full of grace and truth. And that's such an important thing. But the problem that you and I have is very often we can only be one or the other. And we're either people that are all about the grace of God, or we're people that are all about the truth of God. This is what the Bible says, this is what you must do. And we struggle to hold the two things in tension. But we're going to see in this passage how that's such an important part of the church being on mission, and it's so key. Because the turning point of the story is that Simon sees Peter and John placing hands on people, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he thinks, wow, that is great. Can I give you a tenner and will you teach me how to do it? That would be great, you know. And so he somewhat naively offers money so that he can be somebody who prays for people to receive the Holy Spirit. I've kind of read this passage in the past and thought, well, maybe Simon wasn't really saved. In fact, if you look at some of the commentaries, a lot of them say he wasn't really saved, that when he says he believed and baptized, he didn't really believe. Well, I don't actually think that's true. I think what this shows us and teaches us, and this is the grace part, right? What this shows us and teaches us is that believing in Jesus is a process. I hope that doesn't upset anybody. But there's an initial step of faith to get over the line. There's an initial step of faith when you realize something about Jesus is true. I don't understand it all. It doesn't all fit into place, but I know enough to realize it's true and I need to make a decision to follow him. And I make that decision and we get over the line. But it's a process. You know, we say, I trust you, Jesus. But there's loads I don't understand. And actually, there's loads we don't even know we don't understand, as Simon is about to find out in our story. And as we go on, Jesus, you know, educates. It's like, Aidan and Meg, they're getting married in just under 2 weeks. Yes, there's some eye rolling going on over here, don't know why. They're getting married in just under 2 weeks, right? Now, I don't know exactly how the conversation went when Aidan proposed, but often when a young couple decide that they want to get married, they don't know everything that's sorted out for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They can't have I's dotted and T's crossed. They have to make a statement. They have to decide that they love each other enough that they're going to go for it. They haven't got a clue what the future holds, but they want to do it together. And you know what? That's what it's like, choosing to follow Jesus. You haven't got a clue what the future holds, but you want to do it with him who is Lord over everything. And as we've been singing today, is the rock on which we can stand and will hold us firm. So important that we get that. So the grace of God is at work in Simon's life already. And, you know, what Simon is doing here when he says, can I have this gift for money, he's interpreting what he sees happening in the only way that he knows how. And that's why you and I, we need to exercise grace with people as they become Christians, as they figure out a bit more about Jesus and they come from a completely different background from ourselves. We need to exercise bucket loads of grace because guess what? God exercises bucket loads of grace with us and the things that we're screwed up about. So Simon interprets what he sees in the only way he knows how. And we all do that. We all interpret the gospel. We all interpret Jesus in the only way we know how, which is through the lens of the culture in which we live and the values that we've been brought up with or have acquired along the way. We all do it. And that's why, this is a side effect, but that's why the church is so important. It's so important that I need you to help me understand things better than I do at the moment through the way that I see them and vice versa. And that's why being part of the church is so key. It's a key part of how we grow together. So if you're a Christian this morning, or even you're not a Christian and you're looking at the message, we're all interpreting it through a lens of, you know, our life experiences and what's happened. And that's all that Simon is doing here. I kind of feel sorry for the guy when Peter lays into him. But that's what he's doing. That's all he knows how to do. His life was about making money. His life was about being popular through things that other people wouldn't understand. And so I think it's really important as we think about mission anywhere, but especially right here for ourselves, that when somebody relies on other things in their life, when their life has been shaped by circumstances often beyond their control, when they have a reliance on things like money or alcohol or drugs or popularity or .. those things still continue to influence and they learn to interpret things through that as they start off on the journey following Jesus. And we need to recognize that in ourselves as well as in other people. It's kind of a little bit like when our first child was very small, Ange went out once and left me in charge of feeding her. And so I had Lauren in the high chair outside, and I gave her Angel Delight, right, in the bowl. And I was supposed to use a spoon to feed her, but, you know. And so like any kid, hand in bowl, full of Angel Delight, right? Hand in bowl, full of Angel Delight, and a mess everywhere, right? And Anne said something to me when she came home, but we'll leave that. But the point is, for any child, right, it's the same, isn't it? They start eating, and it's a mess. We don't stand over them and say, no, you've got to use a knife and fork. You've got to use a spoon properly. You've got to do this right. We don't do that, do we? We just love the fact that they're eating, and we love the mess. And the mess is a key part of them growing and learning. Now, if as that child gets older, you know, and actually they can't do that so well, and they stop and they don't learn to use a knife and fork and a spoon, it doesn't feel right, does it? It clashes. And so they learn in time to do that. But there's a point in their life when it's totally valid for mess to be part and parcel of the process. And so we need to exercise grace with ourselves and with people around us as they come to know Jesus and hear about Jesus, because it won't all be nice and neat and tidy. And it isn't meant to be. Just like Simon in our story here. However, that's the grace part, right? But there comes a point also in all of our lives, from time to time, when God has something about his truth that he needs us to know. And he wants to make the point because he's got our best interests at heart. So there comes a point in our story when Simon butts head with God. He butts head with the truth of God. Yes, he believes in Jesus. Yes, he's trying to follow him as best he knows how. But you know, and as I said, some people think he didn't really believe in the first place. I don't think that's true. I think he does believe in Jesus. But he hits this point in his life. And there are times and seasons in all of our lives when we butt heads with God. And he puts his finger on something that we need to change. That can be painful, right? Jesus said, the truth will set us free. And someone has added, but it upsets you a lot in the first place. They didn't use those words, but that is the essence, right? When God confronts us with the truth of who we are and what we are really like, it hurts. And it's upsetting and it's painful. But that truth leads us to the freedom that God promises. Yeah, and actually, I'm fascinated by Peter's approach here, right, in the passage. Because I don't think the church today would kind of do it like this. I think today we would say, Peter, you know, can you just get alongside Simon? Can you just encourage him a little bit? Can you just help him to understand perhaps a little bit more? You know, Peter, you did that walking on water thing, which didn't go very well, did it? And Jesus had to kind of straighten you out. In fact, Peter, didn't you deny Jesus three times and he had to restore you? Perhaps if you could share those experiences with Simon and then help him to understand how he would do it, then, you know, maybe Simon can understand a little bit more and perhaps hopefully God will speak to him and he'll change. That isn't how Peter does it in the passage, is it? It's not, you know, we would probably read that and think, Peter, you're being so judgmental. Don't do that. But actually, as I read it, I think Peter is being incredibly compassionate in the grand scheme of what's going on here. You see, there are times when God wants to, and we need to hear that there's stuff he wants to deal with, and we need to hear it loud and clear, because we get comfortable with following Jesus and carrying this baggage at the same time. And there comes a point when God says, enough, because I've got something better for you and something more for you. And the issue is not that God has a great long list of what he needs you to change. That's not what it is at all. Look at what Peter says in this passage. The issue wasn't that Simon wanted to buy the gift of praying for people for the Holy Spirit with money. That wasn't the issue. You know, the issue is never the issue, right? It's always something underneath, always. But the issue, as Peter pinpoints in the passage for Simon, was that his heart wasn't right before God, and that he was full of bitterness. He was captive to sin, and all that stuff was going on. Now, we get used to carrying all that baggage and this kind of loses its meaning these days, but, you know, we put a mask in front of us. Not one of these masks, but, you know, we put a mask in front of us, don't we, to hide it, because we don't want people to know about that's what we're really like, or we've got that in us, or, you know, we're suffering. And so we make alternative arrangements ourselves in our lives. But Jesus wants to cut through that. Even this morning, as you're watching or you're listening to this message, there may be things the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on. You know you need to deal with this. And like I say, it's not because God's got a great long tick list. It's because he's got something better in store for you. And for you to walk into that, there may be something that just needs to be addressed in your life or in my life this morning. And so Peter is really saying this to Simon, because he's saying, Simon, you're going to miss what God can do in you and through you unless you get this stuff dealt with. Peter knows from bitter experience that these things need dealing with. And don't need to linger on. They need dealing with. And the truth of God is put directly in front of Simon in order that he might be set free from these things and become the man that God intends him to be. Now, we're not told the final outcome. We get Simon, you know, just crying out, well, Peter, please pray for me. This doesn't happen. And we don't know what actually happens. But the point is, there does come a time when we need to respond to the truth of God as it's spoken into our lives, as God brings things to the fore. So just to recap then, from this passage, I think there are a few things that we should be looking for as men and women of God as we go on mission together in this day and age. We're called to cross-cultural mission. Let's get out of our comfort zones. Let's get starting to mix with people that we wouldn't normally mix with because they're different from us. And figure out how we bring Jesus into that situation. Part of mission is people need to believe and be baptized. That's the part of the gospel, believe and be baptized. And again, if you want to get baptized, please contact us and we'll sort it out. We need to see men and women being filled with the Holy Spirit. That should not be something that wanes with this generation and dies out, but actually should be brought front and center as part of our mission together. And we look to God as we pray for people, for them to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And that as we go on mission together and rub shoulders with the work that Jesus is doing in the lives of men and women, it's a mixture of grace and truth together. And we need to recognize that and work with Jesus in bringing his love and his mercy into people's lives. Amen.